This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint. Brian Carey, my co-host, head coach of the UNC Bears football team, Ed Lamb, joining us. Last week, you were teaching us about the palms down. You know, we were kind of getting in each other's faces a little bit. You were doing some coaching. I'm going to do some coaching right now. You got to be better at throwing that football, man. Ed, I watched that video of you trying to knock the water bottle off Brooke's head there, and that was just a poor performance. We've got to be better. We're close to the season. We've got to be better, coach.
I appreciate that critique, and I will work on it, and I will accept your challenge for a head-to-head throwing competition.
I am 100% in.
You know, he was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, coach. Way back in 2A.
Yeah.
Throw that football over then their mountains.
Still, challenge issued.
Okay. All right. Accepted. Can we have Brian put the water bottle on his head? Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
I mean, of course,
Ed has no problem with that.
What you don't know about that video that surfaced, I actually had a smaller target. I was trying to unscrew the water bottle with the ball. And so you have to get the correct side of the cap.
Sure.
And I only missed by an inch.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Also, you missed on the what would be the right side, and most water bottles open the other way. So I don't know if I'm buying that. I analyzed this video closely.
I missed on the left side.
Did you?
And that would have turned it. Had it rubbed it, it would have turned it in a counterclockwise direction.
I would not argue with Coach. I have complete faith he knew what he was doing.
I do too.
That's some skill to open the water bottle.
You know what I'm best at here is just arguing about things that really do not matter at all. And I said I was going to do some coaching, and then I just pulled the ultimate fan coaching of be better. Yeah. No direction on how to be better, Coach. Yeah. Just demand better out of yourself.
This is what I get on a daily basis.
Why don't I just take it? And say, I will own the miss, as I would want my players to do.
Right.
I will own your coaching. And let's say I even missed on the wrong side of trying to unscrew that cap.
Right.
And
I just gotta get better.
Yeah.
You did. I was wrong on that. How is Brooke still in concussion protocol?
The helmets are amazing now. We don't even worry about that stuff.
I got to tell you, rewatching that, you were a hell of a lot closer than I thought you were the first time. But I still accept that challenge. I think that'd be fun to do. So you can throw it Brady, and I'll throw it Brian, and we'll see. You know, maybe the goal is who hits him in the back of the head the most. But we'll figure that out.
Yeah, there's got to be a plan C here.
Yeah. Coach, appreciate your time this morning. We have had this conversation with you a number of times, but it's one of my favorite conversations that we have each year with you. And you guys are planning your little getaway, team getaway this weekend. For our new listeners here this morning, maybe that don't remember, tell our listeners what this is all about.
Yes, this is our annual camp out. It marks, really, for the players, especially as they get more in tune with it, it marks the end of training camp. And the beginning, when we come back from this camp out this weekend, we'll be 2 weeks out from the first game. And so training camp, even though we're still on a kind of daily training camp itinerary, it's long days, the practices start to look much more like in-season practices with an eye toward and a focus on our first opponent this year. That's Weber State. And so our players also understand that this is like the last week where we'll be kind of handing out repetitions for repetition's sake. A lot of the jostling on the depth chart really slows down after this week of training camp. And the camping trip marks the end of that. It's a transformational experience. The players will remember it the rest of their lives. I've got coaches on my staff who participated in that in the Southern Utah days, and it's a blast.
Now, what are some of the requirements of what the actual logistics of this camp out looks like?
Oh, I love it. What a great question, because I just went through this yesterday with the players. They are required to bring a talent, an acting skill, participate in our variety show. And there is a legacy trophy that's handed out to position groups, but position groups can do more than one skit or talent or whatever it is that they're going to do. But they must entertain us. Other than that, we give them a checklist of things to bring. Some guys kind of test that out and decide, oh, I don't need a raincoat. I don't need a hoodie. It's hot. I don't need a sleeping bag. And so, like, they suffer. But we don't do anything athletically related up there. Mm-hmm. We still evaluate. And so, you know, over the years, the guys who kind of ignore the checklist and don't really prepare for the trip, you know, they tend to kind of, like, their season follows suit. Let's say that.
I was wondering that. Yeah. What you as a coach learn from watching the guys do this weekend, their ability to bond, to become a team. There has to be so much human element to take in, aside from the X's and O's of football, that you can then use to put those X's and O's in the proper position.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it's really comes down to this. Like, okay, coach says something is important. Coach gives out, like in the old days, we would give a handout, a piece of paper. Now we can send everything to phones, plays, blitzes, whatever we're installing, checklists for what to bring on the camp trip. So, like, okay, coach says it's important. Coach gives you the information. Coach tells you that the rec center on campus, which rents sleeping bags and rain gear and boots and anything else you might want to bring up there, that closes on Wednesday night. We leave on Friday morning. Like we've said, we've told them everything they need to know. And so when guys fail at that, you wonder, you know, what type of lifestyle they're living, what gets in the way. And you know, we have to look at it as, okay, that there's probably an indication there that this guy isn't studying his playbook quite as much, isn't quite diving into his academics in the way that he should. They're just distractions. Or, you know, some guys at that age, I had it too, like the buzz in your head is just a little louder, you know, and it's always buzzing. And then as you get a little older, the buzz subsides and you can hear what people actually say.
Are you able to pick up on leadership skills from people that you didn't know had that?
100%. Yeah, we've got one of our best leaders came to me yesterday, and he's got a little tooth problem going on. The dentist told him, hey, I could get you in on Saturday. I'm normally not open on Saturday, but I'll do this. And I was totally grateful for that. I'm like, look, I'm not a doctor. If you need to go take care of this, you know, do that. But if the doctor says we can do it, I would rather have you miss practice than the camping trip. And that, in part, is because of where this player is at. You know, is you get to a certain point in your career where practice, every practice counts and you get better. But some of the young players without a lot of experience, they're getting much better every practice in leaps and bounds. And the veterans are kind of, you know, they're polishing up a pretty finished product.
I think it's fascinating and what you do. So, first question, is there somebody defending their title for the variety show?
The running backs.
The running backs are.
Yeah. Running backs brought a lot of energy last year. They did, if I remember right, they did two different skits. And every year it just gets better and better. From year one, where you actually have some resistance, like vocal and physical resistance, guys like, you know, forgetting where it's at or something like that, to last year where everybody participated, everybody had a great time, and then I expect that this year too. We hear guys talking about it. A couple of rules. Women, no making fun of women. Be respectful to women, and be respectful to teammates. So we're not making fun of teammates. Coaches are completely fair game.
Does anyone take advantage of that? Because a lot of times that's just lip service.
Theme.
But
yeah, that is the central theme.
The central theme is getting back. You got to understand, these guys, like, they put so much in to this sport that they love, and they're exposed every day in practice. They go out there, they put their very best on the field, and then you know, time after time, maybe 50 reps in a day, and then the coaches go in for 4 hours in this break during the middle of the day when the players have a break, and by the time the players come back for the meetings, like everything they've done is just chopped up and bloodied and criticized, and we show the other players, and it's in front of everybody. It's just it is incredibly frustrating to try to get better in the sport of football. This is not a free-flowing sport. You don't miss a shot at one end, come back to the other, get a rebound, make up for it, steal some momentum. Like if you are 6 inches out of place in the sport of football, then it is your fault. you know, that that play didn't work. And it's high accountability.
And these guys get to get a little bit back at you guys.
Oh, they're going to get back at us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you free game too?
I'm free game. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. And when we say free game, it's like you don't hold a grudge. You know, when the skit show is over, it's done. And the players, whether they were accurate in their portrayal of you or not, we're moving on. Yeah.
It's like a celebrity roast.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I would imagine you've got to have some thick skin and
know
what you're
going
to. Yeah, absolutely. Wondering as we are, then when you get back from this, just a couple weeks out from that night, I know you have an idea in the off season of where you want to be at this point right now. How does that compare to where you actually are right now, Coach?
Probably impossible to feel able to accurately assess where we're at right now because it's our offense against our defense. So everything, the good that happens on offense is a bad thing on defense and vice versa. But what I can tell you is that from a size, strength, commitment, work ethic standpoint, camaraderie, which I think is big for a championship football team, I think that championship teams have got to be built in somewhat in the way that the coach is built. And so I try to mentor, preach, and link poise, confidence, composure to success. And I see that right now from the team. I don't see resistance in that area. I don't see, like when I first got here, fighting was a big thing. At some point, the players had been taught that, if you fight in practice, then you're an intense football team. And I know there's teams that out there that win like that, and I know there's great players that play like that. It's just not what I've been around. It's not the way I've been successful. And so it's really difficult to have a head coach that's trying to do one thing and then a group of players that's trying to do another.
You're talking about that poise and composure. We've kind of buried the lead on this camping trip as well. What are you guys going to be eating up there, Coach?
We're taking up two live goats, and the players don't have to participate in the harvesting of those goats, but they understand that they can. And we've got some guys that are experienced with that, and guys that have been deer hunters and things like that. We'll put one in the ground. We do both. It kind of teach the method of the underground oven in the Tongan tradition. It's called an umu, and then one above the fire will turn it, and that's called a tunu. That style of cooking, and so we'll take those two goats up. But really, like the bulk of the food is provided by the caterers up there, and we have a cafeteria, and they do a great job. And it's a good thing because a lot of these guys won't go anywhere near that goat.
That was what I was wondering, because obviously growing up on a farm, there was a lot of mercy kills that you'd have to do where that cow wouldn't get up or she broke her leg or whatever, and nothing strips you down more than having to take a life. And a lot of people, and I think this is the biggest misconception about the ag industry, is that you do that and you just, it affects everybody that is around, that sees it, the person who has to pull the trigger. And so is that part of why you will be harvesting these goats? Because there is nothing that strips a human down, more to their core than being around death.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, it's really hard on me every year. It's not my favorite thing to do. Love animals. We have several at the house, that we take care of. And it's really hard. And I remember every time that I've done that. I'm not a hunter, and I don't know any football coaches that are. It's really not the right season for a football coach, hunting season.
Yeah.
But I eat meat, and so do most of our players, and I think there is a responsibility to knowing how that's done and to do it as ethically as possible. And, I keep that. I make that fall on me, and I've done it. I remember that I had, I once just kind of failed on the strike on a goat to knock it out first before I harvested it. And it was like, that stayed
it's
with
a painful
me.
Experience.
Yeah, it is, because I put a lot of time and effort into making sure that I do it the right way and in a way that can teach the players something. And then, there's always some kind of snickers and stuff like that. And I try to correct that. You know what I mean? Like, we're not up there to coach the guys really on every moment, every day, but I want to make sure that I at least model the seriousness that it deserves.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing, and it's something that sucks doing, but it's the reality of this is how we eat. This is what this goat provides for us, right? This is what these
seeing the realism
provide.
Of this is how we live.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The bottom line of it is, and there's so much to learn from that.
It is, and that's what I'm wondering. Like, how many could you put a rough ballpark percentage on how many of the guys will watch this happen?
Normally been about 25, 30 guys, and we do it kind of early in the morning, so that just precludes some guys right there. but we got to get them in the ground and start to cook it and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just I want to send the message that look like you know have your views, have your morals, your political opinions, whatever. But it's just untenable to have the view that you only eat meat that other people kill.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you talk. We talk about all the time about that
from a morality standpoint. Anyway,
from that locker room, how many different cultures and races? And
yes,
I mean, because I'm sure you've got farm boys out there that's not going to be an issue. And then you got guys that have been living in the city their whole time, and they don't know the first thing about how that meat gets on their plate.
Yep, absolutely. And I've seen it. I've seen those moments. I still remember a moment at Southern Utah. We had a couple of pigs in the back of a flatbed truck, and then the slats that fit in the side, and so you can kind of see through them. And so we had a couple of kids that had come from the inner city, and they were looking through the slats. And then we had this Tongan Polynesian player that was in the back, and knocked out the pig, and then slit its throat, and the blood goes splurting into the slats, and then the player pulled away from the slats, and he had a perfect like red stripe across his face where he was looking through, and a big smile. Because he'd kind of participated in that moment, you know,
right?
And not a smile of like, I like to see things die, but just like, oh, check this out. I actually eat pork.
I did
pork.
This. I can do something that's really hard.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
I love this, man. This is my favorite conversation with you every single year. Next week, we'll get more back on the football topic here
Can't wait, man.
As we're only a couple weeks away. But Ed, as always, appreciate your time, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you, guys.
Of course,
great to see you, Coach.
8:23 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Absolutely love that conversation with Coach Lamb.
He's just the best.
Any man that can sit there and be open and vulnerable about that. I mean, that you talk about old school way of doing things. That's it with Coach Lamb there, and absolutely love everything he's got going. Now let's have some results on the field this year. Excited about seeing what happens on that first game, Friday, August 28th. Excited to see UNC taking on Weber State under the lights at Nottingham Field.
It's going to be incredible, and we're going to have a full season of that.
Yes, we are. Hey, coming up, speaking of August 28th and 29th, it's Town of Garden City bootlegging days. Friday night, going to be a bike show. Go check out the bike show for a bit and then come over to Nottingham Field. But a bike show with the bootlegging days at the Town of Garden City. Custom with some of the best custom bikes on the road. Saturday features a car show, live music, food trucks, and cold beer. Door prizes are given away throughout the day, and there's fun for the kids, too. Miniature golf and a rock climbing wall from 11 to 2 on Saturday, August 29th. For more information, visit townofgardencity.com. 8:31 the time. Now let's get a break. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
No matter what you are. Oh, yeah. Love a little Badfinger to start the day. 8:34 on your Wednesday morning. Welcome to the Yellow Fiber Studios, home of Good Morning NoCo. Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint here with you. It's that time of the year. A lot of people are starting to clean out the closets. It's that time when you're going to start to be nestling more indoors before too long. But here's a reason to clean out your closet. You can help out Whale Respite Center. From now until September 30th, Whale is accepting gently worn shoes to benefit vital respite care for children with disabilities right here in our community. We've talked to the folks from Whale since their beginning, and this has been a group of people. I just love what they do, and here's a great chance for you to help out. Find a collection site or learn how to get involved at whalerespite.org. whalerespite.org/events. That's whalerespite.org/events. They provide inclusive child care and respite services for children of all abilities. So check them out today, whalerespite.org.
I love their acronym. We help and love everyone, and absolutely love them being a part of the program. A couple of quick responses to our right-hand construction poll question before we get into our interview with Life Stories. What was your least favorite school subject? Brian, English is trying to make a run for it. Diane says English, hated having to write papers, etc.
It shows up on social media, the lack of English knowledge.
You know, and how easy is it going to be for people to cheat using AI? You know, that it has to be now.
Yeah.
And they're like, how did you, you know, kids these days, how did you ever write a 5-page paper? It's like, listen here, Sonny. We did it without even reading the book.
Strong point.
It's called fluff is what that's called. Chris says history. Cody says geography. Geography does suck. I don't care. I don't care where things are located.
I wish I knew more.
See, I do.
I'm very poor at it, but I'm getting better as we go along.
I like how you say poor.
Right.
I like it. Like, I genuinely do. Every time you drop one of those other, I like poor. Latin, Terry says. Never had to take Latin.
Ooh, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it a pain in the keister?
Not my favorite. Yeah, we took a bit of Spanish, a bit of German, and then we had a bit of Latin. And I learned what ambulate and interdigitate meant.
Okay, that's more than
that
I know.
My teacher said he caught me doing that, and apparently he was holding hands with my girlfriend while walking. Sounded much dirtier.
Yes, it did. Bailey texting in high school, I hated government. See, I loved the government classes, but that probably comes to no surprise to anyone. 8:37 the time now. Let's get a break here. Excited for our interview with Life Stories that we'll dive into on the other side. But first, the KFK News and Sports Center. Welcome back in to the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwent, Brian Gary, my co-host, and it is time for our monthly conversation with Life Stories. A double dip this month. We had Maddie in last week, and I do have some follow-ups based on that conversation, but we've got Susan McKenzie joining us. Susan, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. We've got Ryan McIver with us as well. Ryan, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, excited to be have you guys in here today. Of course, Ryan with Upward Fitness Studio. It's right there on your shirt. Don't know why I didn't just read that. Has it escaped me? But
oh,
I have a question.
Oh, he works out?
Yeah.
You can't tell.
Dude's cut.
Yes, for sure. Wasn't going to say it. Thinking it, though. Susan, Maddie was in, and you were talking about the villain for the superhero run that's coming up on September 19th that is going to be portrayed by her husband, correct? Are you guys going to make that poor man shave his head?
So... We did talk about it in great detail a couple days ago. But to be clear, Jake is volunteering to shave his head. We are not making him do
anything.
I don't
believe you. I think this feels like a very much a voluntold what to do situation.
Listen, however you want to interpret it is how you're going to interpret it. But in my mind, and hopefully Jake's, it's all volunteer, not voluntold.
Okay, I like that. Well, the superhero run is coming up on the 19th.
I've had to do a lot of things at Wife Point.
Yes, correct.
You know, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. Well, we are here today. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a bit. But tell us why Ryan's here today.
Yeah, so we brought Ryan because he is one of our great sponsors throughout the year and does a lot of collaborative efforts with us. And so we National Nonprofit Day is on August 17th. And so kind of in honor of that, we were talking about how businesses can get involved with nonprofits all over Weld County. And he's just kind of a great brainstormer and has some really unique ideas and ways that he's supported Life Stories for the last couple of years. And so I wanted to bring him in so he could talk more in depth about that.
I love that, man. So Ryan, talk to us. How did you become involved with Life Stories? How did you know this was an area of passion that you wanted to help benefit this community?
Yeah. So when I opened Upward Fitness Studio, I wanted to make sure that aside from helping people with their health and wellness here in Greeley, we wanted to make a positive impact on our community. That means getting involved. And I met Susan a couple years ago at a networking event. And when she stood up and gave the presentation about Life Stories and what they do, I was moved by it. And since then, we've been happy to help help them with their mission. My wife works in the school system, works with kids every day, so she sees it firsthand on what this organization can do and help families out there. And so it's become really important for us to get involved with them.
Now, I love that you did this, and it's impossible to not be moved when you hear the stories and the great work that Life Stories does in our community. But, Susan, you said something that was very impactful during that break there of it doesn't always have to be monetary. And can you provide some examples of partners that have collaboratively came together to work on something like this?
Yeah, some of the things that other partners have done have been like toy drives. We do one in December, and then we'll do another one in February for Stuffed with Love. There's employee giving campaign. I know that is monetary, but it's, you know, $5
sure.
a month, and that adds up really quickly. There are, you know, Wear Blue Day in April, just to bring awareness to Child Abuse Prevention Month, sharing our social media. Like, there's so many, we got to get the awareness out. And I feel like we have really saturated awareness here in Greeley and kind of the closer surrounding areas, but we're all of Weld County. And so trying to get that awareness out to everybody else is something that we're being really intentional about.
I'm very curious, is there any connection showing the ability to help a young person heal after they've gone through the hell of abuse and all those things with physical fitness, with working out, with actually starting to put some focus on yourself? Do you see people gaining self-confidence, all of that? Is that a helpful thing, and have you seen that in fruition?
Yeah, absolutely. I think health and fitness and positive mindset, healing, they all go together. Clients that we work with, some of the trainers we've had or that I've worked with in the past, everyone has a story on what they came from and why fitness found its way into your life. And so we see it all the time. Someone taking maybe some trauma and being able to find an outlet that's positive for you and can change your life for the better. Mm-hmm. For a lot
of
people.
That's awesome, because we talked about a lot of things in the healing process, what we can do and those kind of things. But I don't know that we've really had that direct correlation with getting moving and mentally healing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say too, Ryan is my personal trainer.
Okay.
So when we met and I did the presentation, he was like, cool, I want to get involved. And I was like, cool, I want to get fit. So I've been working at his studio for a couple of years now, and it is also helping my mental health.
Is it?
With just what, you know, I see every day at Life Stories, and I see hardly anything compared to the people that are actually boots on the ground doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it is traumatic. And so to be able to have a space to go there and just let it all go and like throw some med balls and hit some stuff is really, really beneficial.
No, that's awesome.
And not only that, yeah. The community that's built inside of the gym, and I'm sure that's something you focus on with your business, Ryan.
Absolutely. Community is, that's what Upward was built for. I wanted to bring together people and create a positive environment, something that's uplifting. And we meet people where they're at. So whatever their history is, whatever their story is, that first consultation I do with you, I'm going to ask you everything on your life and how we got to where we are that day, and try to put together a program and that's going to help you make a positive impact and improve your mental health. And everyone that walks in that gym, by the time they walk out, they have a smile on their face. And that is a testament to our trainers and the rest of the clients there.
We've
got Susan McKenzie from Live Stories and Ryan MacIver, Upward Fitness Studio, joining us this morning. We've got the 5K, the superhero run coming up. Have you participated in this before, Ryan?
I run a booth.
Okay.
I like lifting weights. I'm not running anyway. If you need to run, leave earlier.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So we have our trainers and some of our clients will actually run the event, but we do put together a booth and help support them in their run that day. And yeah, fitness and help giving back to our community.
I love this. I know this is one of your favorite events, or maybe the favorite event you guys do, Susan.
Yeah, it's a great way for the community to come together. And I like that there can be kids involved in this one, because the other ones are very centered around adults and donations and asking for money. And this one is come celebrate, come be a superhero, come have fun. It's pretty hard to it's weird to talk about having fun when we're in the child abuse space, right? But this is really a place where the entire community can come forward and show their support for life stories and for the kiddos in our community.
So. I know throughout the years of all the things that I've hosted or been a part of, my old partner Todd Harding, this was one of the events he looks forward to every single year.
Yep.
And I know he'd been a part of it for many, many years. I don't know if he's still involved, but is he going to be emceeing it again?
Yeah.
He gets so into this and just loves the cause, and it always lit me up to see him so lit up for it. So I'm really glad he's going to be back doing that again. I know how much this event means to him and to so many.
Well, and it's what the community is supposed to feel like for these kids, too.
Yeah. Yes.
We talk about in the child abuse space, providing a day where this is what the good in our community looks like. This is how it's supposed to be. It's such a powerful thing, and I love that that encompasses with everything that you do. So what do we need from the community? More people to sign up to run this bad boy? Mm-hmm. What do we need, Susan?
Yeah, so we have, our goal is 650 runners, and we're only at like less than 100 right now, which is not
uncommon.
No, yeah, people are last minute, so I'm not worried yet. And then we need 120 volunteers to run it, so that is a need. And then we still have room for sponsorships and for community booths. We usually have about 30-40 vendors out there on top of everything. So when everything is said and done, there's usually about 1,000 people there. So it's a great place for business, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ryan has had some success there in getting to connect with community members that are already running, so more likely to be interested in fitness. I am also a fan of just running the event, not actually running.
No. I thought he was, Brian was going to say his old partner used to run it, and that's something that I will not be doing. If you need an MC ever, we would be happy to do it, but
neither of us ran in the 30 years we were together on the air.
You know, and I don't need people to walk around in superhero costumes and talk to kids, though. So that feels
I am not
fun.
Built like, I mean, I don't know if I'm built like a superhero. I know that I'm not. What is the what
Ant-Man?
Was Man? That's what I was trying to think of, too. It's not Megamind. I can't think of it. But that little blob that just goes around that's made of Jello, that would be me. That would be
like
the superhero.
Flubber?
Yeah.
Don't take my
different
gig.
Movie, but yeah.
Don't take
different
my
movie.
Gig.
That was really. Do you know the movie that I'm talking about where the aliens come down? And it's like, oh, Susan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that?
I don't know. You said you did know it, and then you don't. So.
Well, I only know that because
thank
people
you
come up and say that to me all the time.
For calling me flubber this
I
morning.
I did not say that exactly.
Ryan, how do people find out more about your business, my friend?
Kind of did.
They can head over to upwardfitnessstudio.com to learn more. And we always do free consultations for everyone. So if you are interested, we're over in the St. Michael Square. You can pop by and check us out.
Well, appreciate you and
awesome.
Appreciate the support. This is what it takes as businesses, giving back to these nonprofits. And as Susan mentioned, there are so many nonprofits in our area. Find one that is true to your heart and Life Stories. I don't know how it couldn't be. So lifestorieswell.org. You can sign up to volunteer. Donate today. Lifestorieswell.org. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Quickly, I mean, in 20 seconds or less, least favorite subject in school was what?
Math.
That does not shock me. That does not shock me at all.
Biology,
okay. All right.
There we go, the big two.
Art for me. I hate it. First B I ever got, eighth grade art. Brian hates science as well. So there we go. That's
and
a
gym.
Gym?
I hated gym.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
sorry. How to say it.
8:54 the time now. Let's get the latest of the tech world. Here's Kim Komando.
Lunch was cool.
Yeah, it was tough. That was tough for me. Time to take a good look in the mirror after getting called flubber.
No, I don't think you were actually called flubber.
Yeah, but that's what somebody says when somebody was just called flubber on the radio. That's what somebody. And thank you, Bailey. Monsters versus aliens was what I was getting at.
I saw that.
Yeah, not flubber. What are we doing? Come on, Tanner, you gotta be better. Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoans is gonna join us on the other side. What will CSU's record be this year? Kevin, let us know on the other side. It's Good Morning NOCO presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling, and we will be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.